My friends, seeking the light of God's Spirit, on His Word, we turn again to that passage that we read, the book of Psalms, in chapter 42. And we'll read just now at verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill Mitzar. Now, most commentators are of the opinion, although there is no author ascribed to the psalm, that it is a psalm of David. And certainly there are several things in the psalm which tie in with David's experiences, particularly his experiences of banishment. Now, there were two such times in David's life in particular. There was the first one, when he fled from the hand of Saul and was pursued through the hills. And then there was a later, even harder experience, when Absalom attempted to seize the kingdom by force, and David was forced to flee again. And it's perhaps that later period that fits most particularly into the psalm. Now, we're not being dogmatic about that. We can't be dogmatic. But it's clearly a psalm, whatever the immediate context might have been. It's clearly a psalm where there is sorrow and even a measure of banishment, such as David did experience when he was forced to flee. Now, as we read through the psalm, something occurs and recurs, and that's what I want to focus our minds on this morning. In the words that we just read, the psalmist says twice, I remember. He says it in verse 4, and he says it in verse 6. Now, these two rememberings are very, very different. The first one, in verse 4, refers to things which he remembers, things that he thinks about, which cast him down, which leave him feeling sad and low. But that second remembering, which we find in verse 6, is a resolution by the psalmist to remember, if we can put it like that, he does, to remember other things, to think on other things, which have the very opposite effect of the remembering of verse 4. Because the remembering of verse 6 lifts him up. Well, I want us this afternoon to concentrate on these two rememberings, so close to each other in the psalm, and so close to each other at times in Christian experience, and yet so very different. Well, let's notice first of all that there's a remembering which casts us down. There's a remembering, there are things which, when we think on them, cast us down. Now, what things? Well, let's just mention three. First of all, in the context here, hard providences cast us down. Hard providences cast us down. And that's how the psalmist was here. Whatever the immediate circumstances, and I've already suggested what they might have been, whatever they were, it's very evident that as we read the psalm, he was in the very middle of difficulty. He was at a time in his life when that life and the providence of God in his life was hard. And as he remembers these things, as he reflects on these things, as he looks at how things were for him, he is cast down. In verse 4, for instance, he remembers better days. Days when he was able to go to worship with others in the house of God. How does he put it there? I remember these things. I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. He's thinking maybe of some of the great worship events in the life of Israel. And in those days, there was joy and there was praise. But now, things are very difficult. Now he finds himself providentially in a place where life is hard. And life is difficult. And these happy times are at least temporarily gone. In verse 7, he speaks of the providences of God in his life. Deep calleth to deep. And you get the impression of a waterfall, and it's not a waterfall that's there to be admired, but a waterfall that's crashing down on him. The waves and the billows, they are going over him. You can imagine what that would be like. Physically, you would be cold, chilled, and drenched and miserable. And that's how he feels. Chilled to the bone. And wave after wave. Each one breaking with greater ferocity than what went before. Deep calls to deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and all thy billows, they are gone over me. And then he tells us in verse 6, that for one reason or another he is not at home. Perhaps he had fled from Absalom. But in any case, where is he now? He's in the land of Jordan. He's in the land of the Hermonites, in the Hermon Hills. These were locations way up in the far north of Palestine. He's not able to enjoy what he once enjoyed. He's not able to do what he once did. And these hard providences, when he remembers them, They cast him down, and he is deflated and discouraged. And there's many a Christian today, and maybe you're here, and that's how you are, and you are faced with hard providences. And you remember better days. You remember better days. On the Saturday of a communion, you are surrounded by hard providences. That's how things are for you. Hard providences cast us down. But before I move on, can I just make this comment? You might be tempted to think, Christian friend, that because of these hard providences, no one understands you. And it might be that there's nobody within these four walls who would understand you. But I tell you, there is one who can, and who can sympathize as no one else can. The one who said himself, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." Exceeding sorrowful. And some say that he was thinking of this very verse. We don't know. And it doesn't matter. Hard providences cast us down. But secondly, hard heavens also cast us down. Because it's one thing to be going through a hard situation and being aware in it of the presence and the help of the Lord. It's another thing entirely to be going through whatever you're going through and not have any awareness of that. And that's how the psalmist is here. It seems that he didn't just have a hard providence, but it seems that he is having a spiritual struggle in his life, because in the difficulties he has the added feeling of the Lord's absence. He's not seeing the Lord's hand. He's not feeling the Lord's favor. Where is the Lord in the middle of it all? He doesn't seem to answer him. Doesn't seem to respond to him. And he feels in the opening verses like a deer in great thirst, searching for the water, as his heart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee. What were we singing in the opening psalm? Lord, thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. He's seeking for relief. He's seeking for help. So there's this inward additional spiritual tension as he struggles with the hard providences, as he remembers better times, he is cast down. And again, many's a believer has had hard providence made all the heavier by a lack of the felt comfort of God, and are wondering at the hand of God in it all. We were singing last night in Psalm 105 about Joseph in prison. It's very interesting, isn't it, what the psalmist says in that psalm. The word and the purpose of the Lord tried him in prison. He had no doubt there was a purpose. But could he see it? And can you see it at times? And again, when we speak of these things, does our mind not go to Christ? He who faced not only hard providences, but the absence of that comfort. And feeling its absence as nobody else ever felt its absence, because nobody else had ever felt its presence as he had. Who more than he could say, deep calls to deep, as thy waves and thy billows go over me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. There are things, there's a remembering which casts us down. Hard providences cast us down. Hard heavens cast us down. Thirdly, the psalmist says that hard people cast us down. We find this in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? We find it again in verse 7. In verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? There were those that scoffed. There were those that rubbed salt into the wound. He's bearing the brunt of insult and attack. And those around him were saying, where's your God? Think of Job in this context, don't we? But we think of more than Job. It takes us to Calvary itself. There was the hardness of the burden that he carried. There was the sense of isolation and desolation, and bearing scorn and scoffing brutal. In my place condemned he stood. If he be the Son of God, let him come down from the cross. We will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him. Our fathers hoped in thee, they hoped, and thou didst them release. Psalm 22. But as for me, a worm I am, and as no man am prized. Despised of men I am, and by the people am despised. Oh, hard people cast us down. There are times when we experience that. And maybe, friends, you're coming to the communion with that. When even those who perhaps should have been foremost in helping you have let you down badly. And you know, maybe they didn't intend to. And maybe they regret it. The wound is still there. There are times, are there not, when all that we are and all that we do seems worthless and hopeless. And in these moments, we reach hard conclusions about ourselves and about the Lord. The hard conclusions of Psalm 42. But friends, we have to be careful, because things can look so different in the dark to the way that they are in the light. Hard providences, hard heavens, hard people, they cast us down. There's a remembering which casts us down. But secondly, this psalm tells us that there's a remembering which lifts us up. I remember these things, says David. I think on these things and they bring me down. They have this depressive effect on me, and I reach rock bottom. But just as surely as I remember these things, he's telling us here that from now I will, by grace, remember other things. Verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. Therefore will I remember thee. He's done his other remembering. But now there is the second remembering. And what will the psalmist remember in these verses? Well, first of all, he will remember God. I will remember thee. Is it not the case, friends, that all too often we make the mistake of just looking inward? We resort to self-contemplation as we look at what we are and what we have. And it doesn't get you very far. But here is the psalmist in verse 6, and he's turning his gaze towards the Lord. His sinking, downcast soul remembers God, and he remembers in verse 2 that he is the living God. He remembers he is the living God. He remembers, in other words, that God is. He remembers that God remains. He remembers that God is real. He says, I feel at rock bottom, but wherever I am, God is. And however I am, God is. This is the antidote for the downcast soul. To look to the Lord, to look to the Savior. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the antidote for the troubled heart. And tomorrow, friends, what will you do? You will remember the Lord. And you will remember that he is and that he lives. He will remember God. But he will also remember the kindness of God. He reflects on the Lord's kindness in the past. He recalls these great festal occasions. And though he's now in the remote northern hills of Hermon, he remembers past kindness. Oh my God, my soul is cast down. I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and from the hill Mitzer. Verse 8 says he's the God of my life. The God who gave me spiritual life. And I might be very downcast. And you might be very downcast. But he is the God of your life, is he not? What life you have, where did it come from? But from himself. You remember the kindness of God. When the downcast soul is downcast, it loses sight of the kindness of God. And that soul can come to very wrong conclusions about God. Is it true that to be gracious, the Lord forgotten hath? And that his tender mercy he hath shut up in his wrath. Is it true? And you come to all manner of conclusions. And you're there with the disciples in the boat, and the storm is raging. And you feel as though he's asleep. And they forget his past kindness. Carest thou not that we perish? Had he not fed them so shortly before? Had he not kept them and guarded them and shown them his grace? And yet this is what is on their lips. Carest thou not that we perish? Tomorrow you come, my friend, and you remember not only the Lord, but the kindness of God. And reflect much upon that kindness and the multitude of ways in which that kindness has been extended toward you. I will remember thee. He remembers God. He remembers the kindness of God. But he also remembers surely the character of God. Because these kindnesses that he's thinking of, they weren't just random, gracious moments from the hand of God. It goes deeper than that. He's experiencing these kindnesses because that's what his God was like. Look at verse 9. God, my rock. My God is a rock. Now in Israel, there were times when they had to flee to the rocks. In the days of the judges, for instance, he would flee to the rocks to find safety and security when they were invaded. Oh, well, he says, my God is my rock. He is a rock. He is utterly reliable. He is immovable. He is never dislodged and he is never changed. Oh, you're remembering other things and your soul is cast down in you. And you would almost stay at home. But the psalmist says, remember the character of your God. Not just his kindness, it's because you can have people who are kind, but it's almost out of character. But there are other people and they are kind and they are consistently kind. But none of us, of course, is ever that consistent. But the rock is the Lord is, the character of God. Such a God could not really have deserted him. Such a God could not have given carelessly, unfeelingly, or unkindly into the cup of his providence. So he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down? Today and tomorrow you come and you remember the character of your God. How is it there in Isaiah 40? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths faint. The young men utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He remembers God. He remembers the kindness of God. He remembers the character of God. Fourthly, he remembers the promises of God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Verse 5 and then verse 11. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. How does he know that? How can he be sure? Because the Lord has said so. Can a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, she may forget. I shall not forget thee. I will never, no, never forsake thee. Still trust in God, I shall yet praise him. You hope in God not only because of what he's done in the past, but what he has committed to do in the future. And the promise that the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I was reading this morning about one of the martyrs in the days of Queen Mary, an old lady in Canterbury called Alice Bendon. She was imprisoned for her faith. And because of the harsh conditions, she wasn't able to stand eventually. Her husband used to come and he would try to put some food on a little stick and put it through a hole in the prison to her, but she wasn't even able to get to the window ladder. Her tormentors came, recant, deny Christ, deny the gospel of saving grace, cast aside this justification by faith. You'll go home. And she resolves, no. What's keeping you up? You can't stand on your two feet. Ah, she said, I'm standing on the promises. And with that, she went to the stake. And they burnt her to death. Standing on the promises. Your own two feet might not take you, but the promises will. You come to the table remembering the promises. And you come to the table to claim these promises. For he has given them to you to be claimed and to remember them there and to think on them there. So what do you say now, David? Why art thou cast out? In the face of apparent hopelessness, in the face of hard circumstances, I will remember thee. I will call on God from Hermon Hill and the land of Jordan and Mitzer Hill. It's not Jerusalem. It's not the place of the tabernacle and things aren't perfect. But nevertheless, I will remember. Christian, your situation is not perfect either. But you come and you remember. You remember these things. I will come, I will remember, and I will go on looking to the Lord. And as he says in the next psalm, I will go on praying to the Lord. Oh, send thy light forth and thy truth. Bring me to thy holy. Christian, I'm not making light of your difficulties. But we are reminded here that you have a great God and a great encouragement. I remember, he says, and they cast me down, but I will remember thee. And we have a special ordinance of remembering. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Let's come and remember. He says to his people, you come to the table and you remember the Lord. And as you remember, you will be helped on the way. In verse 1, it's dry and thirsty. Well, you come in your dryness and your thirstiness to the fountain of the gospel and you remember the one who remembered you and who always will. May God bless his word. Let's pray.